Well, I do know one thing. The last couple of weeks have been challenging, for sure, for me. I think, I don't know if all of you know, but some of you know that my mother passed away a couple of weeks ago. And not only that, just a few days ago, which basically came in line with this message, unfortunately, we had a really, on the ambulance, for those of you who are listening online, I also work on the ambulance, and we had a really tragic situation where a young man, 26 years old, took his own life. And it was tragic and gruesome. So the reason why I bring that up is I had time to reflect on death. Now, sermons don't usually revolve around death. So at the end of this sermon, there's life, okay? But it got me to be thinking about what it means to live for Christ. And also, who are they living their lives according to the blessed hope? Well, I can speak frankly about my oldest children, and they are not. And I'm sure there's, as you listen to me speak, that there's children or parents who have children in this congregation who are not living according their lives to the blessed hope. And some of our children were brought up in the church and in the Lord, and it saddens us as parents when we realize that some of our children are not following the ways of the Lord. And I'm sure anyone listening on our live stream right now or on Living Word Radio, I'm sure there's people listening who have children who are not living in the way of the Lord as well. Will my loved ones reach the heavenly shores when Jesus comes to take his faithful home? And that is what I was pondering at my mother's funeral and through my children and extended to our church. There's questions that are raised. Will my mother or father ever be converted? Will my son and daughter ever come back to Christ? Will my neighbor ever accept Jesus as their Savior? And will my family ever become full-hearted Christians? And will the person that I may be studying the Bible with, ever commit their life to Christ? Now, you know, such questions have filled the minds of Christians in every single generation, haven't they? From the time of Christ until our day. But what answers does the Bible give? Now, this morning, we're going to be focusing on the book of Ezekiel. Not a common book that we usually concentrate on when it comes to the sermon time, but Ezekiel chapter 37 specifically. So travel with me back in time to the approximate date of 570 BC. You can see on the screen there, can you? Okay. Ezekiel had received his prophetic call near the age of 25 years old in 597 BC. His ministry took place in the country of Babylon we were talking about this morning, and his congregation consisting of the Hebrews in exile. Now, after nearly 40 years of captivity in a heathen nation, many of Ezekiel's congregants, let's put them that way, had despaired of ever returning to the promised land of Israel. Apparently forsaken by God, many of them who once had hope now gave place to doubt and fear. How did God look upon his people? Well, in Ezekiel chapter 37, is that moving ahead? Hold it. There we go. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1, the prophet says this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of" what? Bones. Bones. The absence of life and the symbol of death. Bones. The reminders of what were once living, breathing, living beings. Bones. The silent clarion call that the wages of sin is death. A valley full of bones. Now, as we look upon the vast multitude of humanity, we behold what looks like a valley of bones. We see those who are dead in trespasses and sins. As we contemplate our families, perhaps we think of those who follow the pleasures of sin rather than the Savior from sin. And as we ponder our loved ones outside of Christ, we realize that we are actually beholding those who go forth as dead men walking, alive, but spiritually dead, awake, yet in carnal slumber. Joel 3:14, and I heard this preacher one time, and he always used to say, "Joel." And I asked him, "Why do you say Joel?" He said, "Because when I say Joel, people think I'm saying Job." So he says Joel. But anyway, Joel chapter 3, verse 14 speaks about multitudes, multitudes. Now again, we talked about this before. This is said twice in the one text. There's an emphasis here. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, as we behold this valley of bones, dry bones, God tells us that they are in the valley of decision. Now, it sounds like a twist if you have bones in the valley of decision. But among our loved ones, some are deciding whether to respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit and walk in the way of life. Some are contemplating the peace they once had with God and the joy of sins forgiven. Some are longing for that heavenly home that they have learned about. And some are yearning to come home again. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, says the Lord in His word. God sees hope where we see despair. Amen. I found comfort in that. God sees life where we see death. God sees living beings where we only see bones. And there's comfort in that too. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 2. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Not just dry, but they were very dry. Who caused Ezekiel to pass by them? It was God, wasn't it? God caused Ezekiel to pass by these individuals who were very dry. Each day of our lives, as we mix and mingle in the sea of humanity, and everyone here mixes with the sea of humanity, we are like the ancient prophet in the valley of bones. And God caused Ezekiel to pass by the bones round about. And God also leads in our lives to bring us into contact with those who are in the valley of decision. So the valley of dry bones, but the valley of decision as well. Interesting, isn't it? And as we follow God's leading, we will come to contact with those who desire to be free from the bondage of sin. There are still those in this world who desire to be free from the bondage of sin. And we'll meet those former Seventh-day Adventists, those who long to be right with God again as well. And they may not know even now that their first step, what way to go in the path of salvation. So let me ask this question. Is God leading in the valley of decision today? Is he leading in the valley of decision today? Well, again, in the last part of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 2, we read that there were very many, that's very many bones, in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, bones of the dead lying in the heat of the desert sun soon become as hard as stone. Sinners who continue in sin soon come to possess hardened hearts. Continual practice of sin closes the heart to the presence of Jesus. And persistence in willful rebellion to God blinds the eyes to the beauty of Christ. Persistence in willful rebellion to God blinds the eyes to the beauty of Christ. So when Ezekiel hears the question, Son of man, can these bones live? God asks us. This is a question for us. God asks us, can your loved one, dead in sins and pursuing the things of this wretched world, can that loved one live again? Can the person with whom you're studying the Bible with, who seems so indifferent to Christ's love, can that person live again? Can that church member, the one that who goes to work on the Sabbath, the one who has no devotional life, the one who goes to parties, the one who is carrying a child, perhaps out of wedlock, can any of these live again? In our short-sightedness, now, the reason why we can say we're short-sighted in a physical sense is because there's not many here in this congregation that don't wear glasses, including myself. So we're talking spirituality here. Ron, don't take your glasses off. In our short-sighted humanity, our initial response may be, I don't think so. I don't think any of these people, they're too far gone in their waywardness. They're too far gone in their sin. In other words, we become judge and jury, don't we? They say there's no hope for these people. But we may become so discouraged as to give up hope for even our lost loved ones. Have you ever felt that? You felt discouraged that your loved ones are not following the path of Christ? There's no hope for them? Now we may feel that our efforts are no avail now. What's the point? What's the point? They're too far gone. We may weep for the callous indifference we receive when we plead with souls to come to the Savior. How often I have gone to evangelistic series, participated in evangelistic series, and basically weep. Not necessarily physically weeping, but weeping in your heart, knowing a person is in the valley of decision, and turn away. And usually the result of turning away at that moment, God is pleading with them to make that decision. Usually it's months, years of sin afterwards. However, Ezekiel's response gives us much to contemplate here. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, God. You know. God knows the heart of each and every one here. He knows my heart. God knows the end of the life story of it all. He knows the end from the beginning. God knows where to put the period in the sentence of life. God knows how to put bones back together again. Too often we spend time in board meetings and church meetings deliberating whether or not those in our communities will respond to the invitation of life. We may be, wanting to put forward an evangelistic series or a health seminar, whatever the case may be. But in our hearts, we may say, we never really got a good response before, so why bother? And too often we allow precious moments to pass, trying to decide if we should witness to Jesus to someone we may be walking through the mall. And we see this individual we know. And there's a golden moment. You know, God always has these golden moments where you can reach that person for Christ. It may not be to walk through the doors of the church or become baptized, but we have that opportunity to witness for Jesus. And it's there. And we know it. But yet, how often we say, I don't think this is a good time. After all, we're in the middle of them all. And what happens is the golden moment is gone. I'm talking about myself here, obviously. I've done it. Now, too often we contemplate the challenges and the obstacles to evangelism, to reaching people for Jesus, while dry bones lie strewn across the desert floor in the valley of sin. The wise man Solomon tells us. I'll add something here. Solomon was not always wise, was he? But I say in this aspect he was wise. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they shall be alike good. Now when we've learned divine science of soul winning, you know, soul winning is a science. But it's God's science. It's not man's science. This should be our prayer in any aspect of reaching people for Jesus. O Lord God, thou knowest. O Lord God, thou knowest. What words I should speak to the sinner on the downward path of destruction. What Bible text I should use to reach this man or woman's heart. How much time I should spend praying for my lost father or mother. How important it is for me to live according to my profession so as to influence a sinner in the way of life. Now we're all sinners. Thou knowest how to save a soul. Lord, thou knowest how to save a soul. I don't. We do not save souls, do we? Do we? We don't save souls. God saves souls. We're the instruments to bringing someone to God so they can be saved by God. But we do not save souls. Thou knowest how to make dry bones live again. Now let me ask this question in today's world. Is God still in the miracle business? Amen? He did. He is. I've often heard people say, not in this church, but I've heard people say, well, there was miracles back in Jesus' day, but there's no miracles today. Not like that. Oh, yeah? You need to think about that for a second. How often has God protected you from certain death? Seriously. I know he protected me many times. To Ezekiel, it would take a miracle for those dry bones to live again. According to all known laws of biology, it's impossible. Unless one looks to the lawgiver, life giver, for a divine miracle, and it takes exactly that. for a person lost in sin to be converted. It's a miracle. And continuing on in Ezekiel, verses 4 to 6, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. The vast multitude of humanity seeks primarily after one thing, life, whatever that life is. But they do seek after life. How can I earn more money so that I can live a better life? How can I get a better education so that I can get a better paying job and enjoy life more? How can I improve my marriage so that I can have a happier home life? And the message of life is what God bade Ezekiel to proclaim unto those dry bones. It's the same message he bids us proclaim today as we passed round about all the dry bones in the valley of decision. It's a message of life, not death. It's a message of holiness, not sin. It's a message of truth, not lies. It's a message of love, not lust. It's a divine message of honesty, not self-seeking. And ultimately, it's a message of Christ, not Satan. How did the prophet respond to God's bidding? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Now, we often hear a shaking in the Bible, right? The shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. The first thing we note in these verses is that when God bids us to proclaim his message of life, it is not a request. It's a command. Ezekiel tells us, so I prophesied as I was commanded. To leave sinners on the path to destruction is not an option for the sincere Christian. In the Desire of Ages, we have this really small quote, but it's powerful. Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary. So everyone here today, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is a missionary. And second, we learn that there is a certain amount of awe, or shall I say, divine astonishment, in our soul-winning efforts. Ezekiel says here, now this is not a quiet thing. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now here we have it. Dry bones can live. Now that's a very graphic and anatomy picture. Let's put it that way. The course I'm taking for paramedic training, that picture says a lot. It's bones, and God is starting to put the muscle and the sinew on the dry bones. Click, clack, pop. Now, that's the first thing I thought of. Click, clack, pop. Bones attach to bones and ball joints go into their sockets. Ligaments and sinews appear where there were none. Flesh begins to grow over the whole organic structure. We are, this picture really doesn't do justice, but we truly are fearfully and wonderfully made. We really are. What a divine miracle. That which was only bones now has flesh and sinew. That which was dead now has new life. Now we share in Ezekiel's astonishment when we see individuals whom we've given up as lost begin to respond to God's call of life. We share in his astonishment when we see individuals addicted to drugs. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to sex. And they leave those things behind to follow the way of life. We share in Ezekiel's astonishment when we see persons committed to a life of worldly enticements now turn away from those things and embrace the living truth. We witness the divine miracle of life before our very eyes. What awe and reverence for God should fill our hearts. And third, we learn a vital truth for all soul-winning efforts. Namely, it's this. Sinners remain sinners until they receive the breath of life, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel states here, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Individuals may adopt some points of truth into their lives for a variety of reasons, including perfectly selfish ones. But only a life fully committed to Jesus Christ under the fullness of the indwelling Holy Spirit matters in the end. That's really the only thing that matters in this life. Nothing else matters. And so Ezekiel carries on. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. We've heard the four winds before, haven't we, in the Bible? O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Amen? In other words, these dry bones will receive the precious breath of life once again. The converting power of the Holy Spirit. How we need it in our lives. I know I do. The converting power of the Holy Spirit, how we need it in all of our soul-winning efforts. Giving information in Bible studies is just not enough. It's not. And we're good at it. We're good at giving Bible studies because the truth is there. And that's all good. It's very good. But without the Holy Spirit, it means nothing at all. It really doesn't. Disseminating truth in public evangelistic efforts is not enough. Or simply learning techniques of persuasion. God does not want us to persuade people. He wants us to lead people to him so that they can make that decision for him. It's the converting power of the Holy Spirit that is essential in all these aspects. We need to pray, oh, breath, breathe upon these slain that they may live. The slain. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. A great army. A great army. So, when we hear phrases like, this is a closed community, or no one wants to hear the truth, or we've been down that road before, that's not what the Bible says. What does it say? An exceeding great army. There is an exceeding great army out there who are waiting to hear words of life. And when they hear them, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they will come to Jesus and be saved. In closing, earnest prayer must attend our efforts to save souls, or else all will be vain. When we take time to petition the throne of grace, then we will see a new life, not only in other souls, but in our own souls. Sinners are passing from death to life. Churches will be revived, and dry bones will live again. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Ezekiel. And even though there are many words in Ezekiel that we do not understand, we do understand, Father, all about dry bones. For there are many of us here, including myself, who were once dry bones. And yet you breathe into us the living spirit that we may make that decision to turn away from our sinful ways and walk in newness of life in the presence of Jesus Christ. Father, I know from personal experience what it means to struggle. But I also know what it means, and I have experienced the joy, the ultimate joy of surrendering one's life to Christ. And Father, in the listening ear of this audience, of this congregation, those who may be listening online, there are many who struggle. There are many who struggle with sin and the trappings of it. But Lord, you are here to tell us today that you alone are victorious, that you alone are willing, that you alone are willing to forgive. You ask each one here today to recommit their lives to Christ. Search us, Father, and see if there is any wicked way within us. And if there is, Father, may we all humbly repent and bow at your feet, prostrate, knowing that you will turn these dry bones into living, breathing souls for Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed, if there's anyone here who would join me in recommitting my life to Jesus Christ, I invite them just to raise their hands while every head is bowed. Raise their hands and they say, Jesus, I want to follow you as never before. I want to give my life to you. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. And thank you, Father, for your Son. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.